So what does God, the author of life itself, want for us so utterly and so completely? God, the very author of life, wants for us utter and complete love and total and complete joy. Now, this might not seem so obvious. If we look around, those we encounter every day, there might not be such a vast majority that look like they are in utter love and joy. And if we think about our own lives and the day-to-day experience of being an adult and going about our responsibilities, if we're honest about it, most of us will realize that we are not always completely full of love and its corresponding joy. Rose is laughing, maybe because you've been on the highway a little more often now that you've moved to Sebastopol. Rather obvious experience of knowing that not everyone is always full of joy and love. So it's a paradox that while the path of life is one that is to lead us to complete and utter love and joy, that is not always our experience. Why is that? You know what Emanuel Swedenborg tells us in his writings is that in order to feel full of joy and love completely, we need to become what he calls receivers. Receivers of love. He calls us, actually, human beings, we're called to become receptacles of love and joy and all goodness. We are to become vessels. But I like the word receiver, and it made me think of a memory that I literally had not thought of for decades. And that was when I was a child, especially in the autumn when we'd have family gatherings, we'd play touch football together. And my uncle, my very, very dear Uncle Wickham, Uncle Wickham Skinner, would be the coach. And I still to this day remember so clearly him trying to teach me how to receive a football, how to catch a football. And he was so intent and so helpful. And I knew that he actually cared more about teaching the boys about how to catch football. But he didn't show it one bit. He gave me every bit of his attention. And he still, I remember, he told me, remember that, imagine that there is glue on the end of your fingertips. And Rachel, if you touch that football, you can catch it. So it's really fun to catch a football when it comes to you. And I still remember that great satisfaction of reaching for it and grabbing it and having it. I am learning to become a receiver. I also remember the utter frustration of when it would just somehow slip through my fingers, or even worse, just bounce right off my chest. The path of life is to become a receiver, to be able to receive whatever happens to us in this life, the good, the bad, the difficult, with love and with understanding. And that is a task we need to learn how to do. Another image, besides that of receiving a football, is becoming a chalice, becoming a vessel, a receptacle that somehow is able to hold and receive love and joy and goodness, and is able to filter out and let go what's not so good, what's negative, what we want to let sift through us. That's how we abide in God. This is a lifelong process. It's called the process of regeneration or of spiritual growth. I want to mention today just one way of viewing and receiving our day-to-day life that might help us in this task. And that is to practice being receivers of love and understanding. To practice, even remember when we get up in this each morning, today I want to practice receiving whatever comes to me with love and understanding. And I want to point out, this does not say how we respond, what we do or don't do in response to what happens to us in our lives. That's very personal, and and we need to decide in any given day and in any given moment what we need to do. I'm not talking about what we do, I'm talking about the attitude in which we receive life. And it's an attitude of love and understanding that will help us then become expert receivers, no matter who the quarterback is. Expert receivers, and find that pathway. I think about, especially because today, I told you this is the 70th annual renewal of marriage vows Sunday. So I think of marriage, and I think about how when we fall in love, how receiving our partner with love and understanding takes no effort at all. We are in love and in joy simply in their presence. And how natural that is and wondrous. But anyone who's been in a relationship more than how long? Anyone who's been in an intimate relationship for some length of time knows that loving ends up with competing desires of expression. And it becomes more than a feeling. And it needs to become a choice and a decision in each encounter with our spouse or our partner. How do we respond? So an invitation again to seek to respond consciously with love and with understanding. Two stories I want to tell this morning, and both come from marriages, one from literature and one from a friend of mine, that to me speak of the hard work it is to meet life with all of its ups and downs, with that attitude and commitment to loving and understanding. But what breakthroughs are possible for us if we do? First story is from Charles Dickens, Bleak House. Didn't actually read the book. I saw a BBC, like a 10-hour story, and my neighbors and I, we've come into the habit of each winter finding a movie to watch, and one night a week coming together and watching it together, and the serials are especially fun. So we watched Bleak House. There's, how many of you have seen it or know the story? Okay, good. So there's, Dickens has these great names for these characters. There's Lady Dedlock. She's beautiful and she's very stern and serious and very composed. But you can tell that underneath she has such a warm and such a giving heart. But you can also see that there's a big wall around it. And as you learn through the many episodes of the story, you discover that she fell in love when she was young. And she had a daughter out of wedlock. And this was in a time and in a place when such things were enough to oust you out of life forever. So she kept it a secret, and it was her sister who raised the child. And she did all that she could to pretend that it had never happened. But as tends to, and she married. Who can remember the name of the lord that she married? Anybody remember?
Sir Leicester Dedlock.
Sir Leicester Dedlock. Thank you, Sarah. Sir Leicester Dedlock. Okay. And Sir Leicester was definitely a sir. He was of an aristocrat and so proper. You've never seen anybody so proper in your whole life. As the decades go by, Lady Dedlock's secret is being discovered. And Sir Leicester is told the truth about his wife. And he's shocked to the very core of his being. Lady Dedlock doesn't stick around to find out how he's going to respond or receive this news. She leaves, never to return. Sir Leicester has had a stroke and has difficulty speaking. But there's a very, very moving scene in the movie where he's with two people who are caring for him. And Lady Dedlock is gone, and we don't know where or when. And they're searching for her. And Sir Leicester says in his halting and difficult speech to please find her. And in case that he should die before she returns, be sure to let her know how utterly welcome she is. How utterly welcome. I don't remember the precise words he uses. Does anyone remember those words? It's just that she's so welcome back home again. Second story I want to tell you is of a dear friend of mine who's in her early 80s. She met her husband when she was a child. They've known each other basically forever. They've been married over 55 years. And then her husband got cancer and was slowly dying. And my friend was terrified of being without him. Months went by, and he did die. And my friend entered such a profound grief, so raw and so complete. I've actually, in all my years in ministry, never seen anything quite that complete in her suffering. And for months, she lived in a state of deep, deep loss and despair. But you know what happened? More months went by. And years went by. And she slowly was born into a new life. Now when I call her, talk to her, as I did just this week, say, how are you? She says, I'm doing great. And she tells me about the classes that she's taking, the volunteer work that she's doing. And we'll talk about her husband and what remains in her of him is love. A friend of hers, a couple, the wife died recently, very suddenly and unexpectedly. And the man, the husband, comes to my friend and says to her and asks her, will it ever get better? And she says to him, she's a very, very honest woman. She says to him, no. No. It won't get better. But you will learn to accept what is. And you will find yourself appreciating what you have ever, ever more fully and deeply. Life is full. Life is full of the bitter and the sweet. And God invites us to embrace all that comes to us with an attitude of love and understanding. And that if we follow this path, we are told, our suffering will not decrease or diminish. It will not erase the pain in our life. But we will find a way to move through whatever is before us. And we will become receivers of love. Joy loves love. So with the love will come joy. And we'll find ourselves in heaven.